Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Mosaic Podcast, created to provide information and stimulate discussion about important issues in senior living. I am Andrew Banoff, President and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life, formerly known as Jewish Senior Services. We are proud to be celebrating our 50th anniversary of serving seniors in Fairfield County and beyond. Every day, we are asked questions about aging, Alzheimer's disease, home care, and all aspects of the senior care navigation process. We hope that this podcast will give you valuable information and that we can be of assistance to you and your loved ones in your journey.
Welcome to today's podcast. I am Mary Przinski here with my co-host David Magner. Today, we're going to be talking to Andrew Banoff about the history of the Jewish Home, which is now called Mosaic Jewish Home. Andrew Banoff is the president and CEO of Mosaic Senior Life, formerly Jewish Senior Services. He's been here for 20 years and has led the transformation of a nursing home into a fully integrated senior living continuum of care that allows seniors and their families a wide array of services to choose from. Prior to coming to Mosaic, he served as executive vice president of St. Vincent's Health Services, president and CEO of Connecticut Health Enterprises, Vice President of Stanford Health System, and Vice President of New York Downtown Hospital. Andrew is a fellow in the New York Academy of Medicine and the American College of Healthcare Executives, and is a member of the board of directors of several organizations, including the Association of Jewish Aging Services and the Connecticut Alliance for Long-Term Care. Andrew is also executive producer of the film Next Year Jerusalem and the author of 5200 Sundays. Andrew, can you take us through the history of how the Jewish Home started?
Absolutely, Mary. It's a great story. More than 50 years ago, a group in Stanford decided there was a need for an organization to serve the community and started to raise money for what ultimately opened in 1973, which is the Jewish Home for the Elderly of Fairfield County, Inc., up on Jefferson Street in Fairfield. That organization originally was a 120-bed skilled nursing facility, and because of the great care they provided and the need in the community, they subsequently added two other 120-bed buildings on the same site, and for many, many years and decades, it was known as the Jewish Home, a large nursing home, that took care of the frail elderly and fortunately had a great reputation. And I think over time, the need and the demand and the interest to do more evolved. So it was first just a nursing home. And clearly, as people wanted more from the community and the chance to be able to stay in their own home and receive care, we were able to do more and more to help that be possible. Interestingly, in our 50 years now of service to the community, there's only been two CEOs, the founding CEO, Denny Magid, who was here for 30 years, and then I was fortunate enough to join the organization 20 years ago. And now I can say proudly, I've been here for 20 years, and it's really just been an incredible part of my life to be part of this organization.
Great. So two-part question for you, Andrew. What inspired the development of the household model nursing home and assisted living community? And part two, when did this occur? And maybe give us a little backstory about how it got approved.
Absolutely. It's a great evolution to what was then a fairly typical nursing home with large units and big nursing stations and 30 or 40 or even 60 people living in a shared environment, you know, those big nursing home units. And our board recognized that that model, even though it was a great quality of care, needed to be better. And some of the issues that were evolving in the early 2000s were about privacy and dignity to get away from shared rooms, were about smaller groups of people living together with more residential environments, such as a kitchen, to be part of that space. And the broader concept, which is called resident-centered care, said instead of making it efficient for the organization, how do we make it residential and personal for the people that live there? So thanks to a whole lot of research and people that had been doing this in other parts of the country, we discovered what became known as the household model. And back in the end of the first decade of this century, we decided that we were going to rebuild an entirely new nursing home, add assisted living services, which was something we didn't do at that point. And we went out and designed a new community. Ultimately, we're able to buy the land from the old Jewish Community Center here on Park Avenue. And then the time it took to raise the money, get the approvals, and ultimately then construct the campus, which opened in 2016, clearly had 5 years of really active engagement and work before that date of move-in, because construction started in 2014, design and financing started in 2012. It was an evolution, it was a process, and I think we learned as much as we could from other communities. We really wanted to build upon the tradition and the quality and the core of our organization, which was that nursing home on Jefferson Street, and then try to find a way to bring with us both the best of what we did, learn from what could be a better model of care, and then ultimately the new community here, what's now incredibly 7 years ago.
Great. And what are some of the unique features of the household model? Like, what is the difference between the old Jewish home and the new?
Sure. I think the most obvious one is having everyone live in an environment with 14 individuals, each in their own house. And when I say house, it's sometimes a little confusing until you see it, but it's 14 private rooms, each with its own private bedroom, bathroom, obviously toilet and shower. Showers in a room was very, very unknown in the old nursing home model. What used to be typically shared rooms, you know, people would say, I don't really want to meet my new roommate when I move into the nice nursing home in my 90s. Now everyone does get their own private space with more dignity in the way it's designed than ever we were able to do before. But that household also gives those 14 people a shared kitchen, dining room, living room, den, and balcony, which are all residential elements. There's no big nursing station like there was in the old place. And the premise is the more and more it feels like home, the easier it is to transition from the house in which you lived. I think it's proven to be true as we've reduced our reliance on different feeding supplements, meal supplements. We've seen better quality of life, longer length of life than there ever was in the old building. And not only do we have that ability to bring people together in a 14-bedroom home, but then the best of the Jewish home, which was shared spaces where they could go to, whether it be the clinic or the beauty shop or the work center or the large gathering area, which we call Bennett Hall, to come together for music or theater or bingo or any other performance. The premise is it's the best of both. You live in your home, but you get to be part of a community, just as you did your entire life, to be able to enjoy those other resources, all of which is brought together in a way that makes this truly unique in Connecticut. It's the only one in Connecticut. There are others in other parts of the country, but this campus is, in fact, the only household model created by legislative authority in the state. And not only is it skilled nursing, we added assisted living. And then I think time has proven over these 7 years what a difference it makes in people's lives.
It is presumed that the household model may be more expensive than a traditional nursing home. Is that in fact true? And looking at the household model, is there more staffing versus the traditional model?
It's a great question, and it was something that we spent a lot of time studying before we built the building. Certainly, there was a capital cost, and we had to raise a lot of money, both from fundraising, but also from long-term debt to make it possible. But interestingly, the operating cost is exactly the same. We had prided ourselves on a great staffing model historically, better than most anywhere else, both in ratios of certified nursing assistants and nurses and everything else that's in the building. But what happened here is not that we necessarily had more staff, because the clinical ratios are the same, but we were able to have more people dedicated to the direct caregiving. And the best example always is the role of the homemaker. So in every house, for breakfast and lunch and controlling and managing the kitchen, because now there's a kitchen in every house, there's a homemaker. So the meal program is certainly different in that breakfast is made to order when people wake up, they eat when they want to, rather than having that old tray line as most nursing homes had used. So the fact is having not only the nurse and the two CNAs in a house, but there's a homemaker plus the social worker and the therapist and everybody else that comes in, the therapeutic recreation staff that does activities, all of which was predicated on a great model, but there's just more direct caregivers being able to engage with the residents directly. And in the end, the cost is the same. We didn't add people, even though we did make a huge investment in the physical building, the staffing model's the same, and the cost structure that we enjoy, certainly more than most, because it's always been more than most, is in fact not more than the traditional model. It's just better allocated for caregiving.
And how is it regulated and licensed?
So it's a nursing home, and the nursing home here, just like it was on Jefferson Street and throughout the industry, is regulated through the Department of Public Health and through the Department of Social Services in the state of Connecticut. That is governed in part through the federal regulations, which is through the Department of Health and Human Services, which governs the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So there's lots and lots of regulations from different authorities. The skilled nursing facility and the assisted living facility are both licensed separately. They are heavily regulated industries, and without a doubt, we are under the microscope and seen by many governing and regulatory bodies throughout the year. But it's no different in this model than it was in the traditional facility. And in fact, we're proud of the relationship and the experiences that we've had with those because of the fact that this is just something that's a little bit unique and certainly special for our community.
So is there anything else you'd like to share that makes this campus unique with our listeners?
Sure. I think, you know, in addition to the physical layout of the residential environment, we had two other major goals when the board approved building it. One was the programs and services that are available to our other clients that had been spread out in the community as we built them over time. And we were able to consolidate all of those things here. So, for example, the adult day program, our outpatient physical therapy program, the childcare center, the J Fitness program, all of the things that bring the community together that, again, may have been somewhere else historically, are now under one roof and get to benefit from each other. The adult day clients might be able to come into the beauty shop. The childcare clients get to walk through and share intergenerational programming. The outpatient physical therapy program shares both clients and staff with the inpatient rehab program. So the more and more things that we do together, the better we're able to serve our broader clientele. And again, this campus made that possible. And then the second major element was we wanted to keep a community identity for this address. Historically, 4200 Park Avenue, for the last 50 years before we bought the land, was the home to the Jewish Community Center, the JCC. And when we bought the land and we decided what we were going to build here, we wanted to make sure that continuity existed. So we do, in fact, rent space on the third floor to what became the newly named Jewish Federation of Fairfield County. But at the time, the idea was that the Westport and Bridgeport Federations, which were separate, merged together under one roof so they could be here and serve the continued broader community. Anything that they do is available to the residents and the people that live here, which was the synergy that evolved from that. And then the broader community can come in and participate through our synagogue. We do have other synagogues that participate on the site. We wanted the community to see this in address where they could be comfortably. And the more we do to engage each other, I think the better off everybody is.
So I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast that there's a new name to the Jewish home. It's called the Mosaic Jewish Home. Can you talk about the name change from Jewish Senior Services to Mosaic Senior Living and how the name translates into all of our services?
Absolutely. And if anyone gets a moment to take a look, all of this is portrayed in a nice new picture board right after you come in through the main entrance near Bennett Hall. The idea, when you look back quickly on the history, is that we were historically known as the Jewish Home for the Elderly of Fairfield County. And I think that served us well for a very long time. The evolution in the early 2000s to Jewish Senior Services was a reflection on the fact that we did more than the nursing home. And the idea of that umbrella name was we were still the Jewish Home for the nursing home, but through home care and hospice and adult daycare and all the other things that we did, we were trying to be more of a service provider to the community at large. And I think what happened beyond that over the last decade was that it was truly recognized that we were a mosaic, both in terms of the caregivers, our incredibly diverse staff of nearly 1,000 people, and the clients that we serve. So we decided to look for a new name in honor of our 50th anniversary and in honor of the true reflection of the diverse population that we are and that we serve. And after some work and some debate about what that might be, the word mosaic was selected to reflect who we are as an organization. I think the concept of Mosaic Senior Life also gave us the opportunity to rebrand and re-identify everything else that we do without having to change all the other names, because I think it had gotten a little confusing to the marketplace. Folks didn't necessarily know the things that we did, which were branded very often with donor recognition names like the Chaffetz Family Hospice or the Friedman Home Care Agency, which were wonderful reflections of what we accomplished. But now it's all under that same mosaic identity so that people clearly identify everything with us. So Mosaic Home Care, Mosaic Hospice, Mosaic Adult Day, et cetera. And I hope over time that brings together both the strength and reflection of our history, the tie back to our cultural and community roots that go all the way back to Jerusalem, as much of our artwork and the Jerusalem stone in our building represents. The fact that it's inclusive, we want it to be a service provider to the entire community, a reflection of the diversity, again, of our staff and of our clients, and keep that tradition of quality and the reputation of the Jewish home. So the main building here, the nursing home, will be the Mosaic Jewish Home. And again, I hope over time, everybody just gets really comfortable with that being a reflection of the real pride and joy that we take in our community. So thank you for those questions and certainly an opportunity to talk about the evolution of this campus and a little history of our organization.
Well, thank you, Andrew, for joining us today, sharing the rich history of Mosaic Jewish Home, of course, the variety of beneficial services we provide to the community as a whole, and the unique benefits of the household model. We appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast for Mosaic Senior Life. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please call us at 833-MSL-LINK, 833-MSL-LINK, that's 833-675-5465, or contact us at mosaicsl.org. That's Mosaic with a Z, S as in senior, L as in life, .org, mosaicsl.org, for more information on any of our services.